As Time Goes By, written by Bob Larbey, starring Judi Dench as Jean and Jeffrey Palmer as Lionel.
Right, that's completed that, so it's time to call it a day. I'm off now, Mum.
What was the name of that chap with the croaky voice?
Chap with a croaky voice?
Yes.
Louis Armstrong?
No. The chap who decorated the hall.
Oh. Terry Sharp.
Oh, yes. Yes, Terry Sharp, that's it.
Why, are you thinking of having more decorating done?
No.
Why do you want to know the decorator's name?
I just seem to forget names more easily these days.
But I'm your daughter, Judith, and as I said, I'm off.
It's only 4:30.
I asked you this morning if I could go early.
Oh, yes, you did. I'd forgotten. I used to have such a good memory.
Mum, you've never had a good memory.
Well, I'd forgotten that as well.
I'll put a label in your coat with our address on it, just in case you forget where you live.
Very funny. Go on. Going anywhere nice?
Down to the theatre at Richmond with some friends.
Oh, is Alistair going?
No, I said friends. Bye, Sandy. Bye, Mum. Have a nice time.
Nicky Parsons has got the flu and can't get to work tomorrow, so I thought I'd get Anne Wilson instead.
Okay?
All right. I know who they are, you know.
Who?
Nicky Parsons and Anne Wilson.
Well, of course you do. They work for you. What's so remarkable about remembering their names?
On current form, quite a lot. Yeah, Judy and Alistair had a row.
Oh, didn't you know? She told him she was sick of being taken for granted.
Oh, good for her. 2 years after David died, I went out with a man who took me for granted.
And you hated it?
No, I loved it for about 3 weeks. Then I got tired with it and gave him a push.
Did you and Lionel...
Oh, ever take each other for granted? Mm. Oh, I expect we did. But we were too much in love. It didn't seem to matter.
I think people must have been much nicer then.
No, just more innocent.
That's not what I heard. What about that night in a country hotel?
Yes, well, not that innocent. It's funny, that's the scene that Lionel's trying to rewrite in his script with the aid of Mrs. Flack.
Aid? I thought she talked so much she couldn't get round to doing any rewrites. Anyway, I thought you were going to sack her.
How can you sack a woman who breaks her ankle and insists on turning up to work on crutches?
True. Still, there's one good thing about her being on crutches. It'll stop her going all over the house, tidying everything up.
Well, upstairs, anyway.
You'd moved the custard tarts again, hadn't you, Mrs. Flack?
Crummy things.
I happen to like custard tarts.
No, I mean, I thought it would be tidier to put all the crummy things in one cupboard. You had them in with the saucepans.
I keep them in with the saucepans.
Oh, well, it's not very logical, is it?
Logical or not, that's where I keep my custard tarts.
I was just trying to be helpful.
Yes, I know you were. But in your state, you shouldn't be moving around. Have a biscuit and some coffee.
Thank you. There's something troubling you, isn't there?
No.
There is. You've been out of sorts all day. I think I know what it is.
Do you?
Yes. There are some things that aren't easy to put into words.
Yes, there are, Mrs. Flack. You're right.
Like love.
Pardon?
Like love. Here you are trying to write a love scene and you're finding it hard to put it into words. That's what's troubling you, isn't it?
Yes, that's what's troubling me.
It's funny because it's not as though you have to make anything up. I mean, this is the first time you and Miss Paget are, well, enjoined.
I know that.
You haven't forgotten, have you?
Of course I haven't forgotten. I just find it rather difficult to put it into words.
Well, there are plenty of words.
Yes.
So are men.
Where were we up to?
You just closed the bedroom door.
Ah, yes.
Well, at the risk of sounding prurient, what happened next?
I said, hello.
But you just had dinner downstairs. Why say hello?
I don't know why I said it. I just said it.
Well, it doesn't sound very romantic, does it? What about something like, and I know I'm not a writer, but what about something like, oh, my darling, you look so lovely?
I couldn't have said that.
Too shy?
Jean was in the bathroom. I couldn't see her.
Well, why did you say hello then? then?
Well, you can say hello to someone without being able to see them, can't you? You cannot say you look lovely to someone you can't see.
Fair point.
Thank you.
Now, I don't want you to get ahead of yourself, but did you undress?
Well, I didn't jump into bed with all my clothes on.
Well, that brings us to the issue of socks.
Does it?
Yes. I know I can't speak for the whole of womankind, but a man taking his socks off last is a dead turn off.
Well, you'll be thrilled to hear that I never take my socks off last.
Oh, good.
Anyway, after I said hello, Jean came out of the bathroom and I said, ah, there you are.
The late Mr. Flack was rather keen on, well, that side of things. And surprisingly enough, he was quite good at it. I mean, for a short man.
And Jean said, yes, here I am.
But he did develop this habit of taking his socks off last, and it didn't do a lot for getting me in the mood, as you might say.
We have established that I didn't. And then...
Strange things, sir. I know they serve a purpose, but when it comes to that side of things, they are best disposed of as quickly as possible. I find that cardigans come under the same category, don't they?
Would you excuse me for a moment, Mrs. Flack?
Yes, of course.
I need to go and bang my head.
Pardon?
I need an aspirin. I've got this head. Rubbish. Rubbish. No, I didn't.
Didn't what?
Have a good day. Everybody says that when they come in. Did you have a good day?
Oh, there's not much point in me saying it then, is there?
Not really. Where are the others?
Judith's gone out and Jean's popped down to the corner shop.
What for?
To buy some corners, I suppose.
Very funny.
Oh. Well, you can't be Mr. Sunshine all the time. I'm going to have a shower and change.
What? Now?
Do you want to use the bathroom?
No. I'd just sooner you waited until Jean gets in, that's all.
Why?
Because there's only us in the house.
Oh, you don't really find that significant, do you?
Yes, I do. I'll be down here and you'll be up there with no clothes on.
Well, as long as it stays that way, everything will be all right.
I'd just sooner you waited, that's all.
You are funny. How was Mrs. Flack today?
You going out as well?
Yes. I've seen a flat in the paper, so I'm going to look at it later. You didn't answer my question.
I can't. I think I've used up my entire vocabulary on Mrs. Flack.
Hello?
That'll be Jean.
Hello, Lionel. Had a good day? Oh, dear.
Right. I'll have that shower now you're in.
Why wait till I'm in?
Lionel, he was getting ideas about soaping my back for me.
I just thought it was best to wait until you were in the house.
You are sweet.
Sandy said I was funny.
Well, sweetly funny, then. No progress at all?
Oh, yes. We've established that Mrs. Flack doesn't like men wearing nothing but socks.
Well, nobody does, do they?
I've never thought about it very deeply.
You know, I've had an idea about Mrs. Flack.
Yeah, I've had some ideas about Mrs. Flack.
Well, I'm sure you have, but this one doesn't involve murder. Now, look... The problem is that we can't bring ourselves to sack her, but what if we could get her to leave of her own accord?
Go on.
Well, it's a bit complicated.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's worth a try. Look, I'll explain it over dinner.
Oh, there's a snag over dinner. I volunteered to cook dinner, didn't I? I was going to do us a Chinese.
Lost your nerve?
No, I've lost a walk. Mrs. Flack's been tidying up again. Yeah, a good fish and chip shop, that.
Oh, very good.
Excellent chips.
Yes.
I like a good chip. Very rare thing these days, you know, really good chip.
You haven't said what you think of my plan yet.
I think it's bizarre.
Well, I think it's very simple. All you do is say to Mrs. Flack that you've got to work in Los Angeles for 2 weeks and you've got to take a secretary with you.
And I say I'd like it to be her.
Yeah, convincingly.
But she says she's sorry, but she can't come.
Because of Harriet. You know how she loves that dog. She'll never leave him for 2 weeks.
Your whole master plan rests on a Yorkshire Terrier.
A plan's got to rest on something. It'll work. It really will.
And does this sudden call to Los Angeles come in the night?
No, we'll do that live. It's more convincing that way. I'll come in from the kitchen, and I'll say Los Angeles is on the phone, and there's a message for you.
Well, why didn't they ask to speak to me?
They were in a hurry.
And why didn't the phone ring in the living room?
It's out of order.
But the one here in the kitchen is working?
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a telecommunications expert.
I know.
Yes?
No, don't say yes like that. No, I'll get Sandy to ring from the office so that Mrs. Flack will hear the phone ring in here.
She'll hear it ring in the sitting room, too, because the one there isn't really out of order.
Well, we'll disconnect it.
What then? I'll have to be up and down all day to answer it here in the kitchen.
Well, all right, I'll make the noise of a phone in here, then.
Can you do that?
Well, of course I can. Anyone can make the noise like a phone.
Well, go on, then.
What, now?
Well, if it's that simple, yes.
All right.
That didn't sound anything like a telephone.
Oh, you're just making difficulties. Look, I'll just do a very short... and I'll say I happen to be standing very close to the phone.
Look, apart from bordering on the infantile, this is deeply dishonest.
It's a minor deception.
And it's flawed. What if Mrs. Flack says, oh, I'd love to go to Los Angeles?
She won't.
Well, what if she does?
Well, we'll have to cancel the trip.
Oh, you've got a contingency plan as well?
No, I just thought of it. Look, I know this minor deception.
Lie?
This minor lie. Look, I know it's flawed, but what's the alternative? This way she gets let down lightly.
I don't know. She talks all the time so I can never get any work done. She wanders around the house rearranging things, and we're jumping through hoops so that she gets let down lightly.
It was arriving to work on crutches that did it.
Well, thank goodness she didn't come on a stretcher. God knows what she'd have come up with then. Judy! Judy!
Alistair?
Well, hi.
How did you know I was going to be at the theatre?
Would you believe sheer intuition?
No.
Okay. I phoned Jean and she told me. So I drove over. Can we talk?
I don't think we've got much to talk about.
Now, that is where you are wrong with a capital R. Jump in. I'll give you a lift.
I'm with friends.
Well, I'm not going to give them a lift. Please, Judy.
Oh, all right. Look, I'll just tell my friends.
Sorry. Look, I'm being hijacked. I'll call you later.
This had better be worth it.
You'll find out when we get there.
Get where?
Paris, Hong Kong, name it.
Home.
Dull, but probably best.
I was half watching that film.
No, you weren't. You were fast asleep. Time for bed.
I do nod off these days.
Well, I shouldn't worry. I'm losing my memory. This morning I couldn't remember the name of the man who decorated the hall.
Why did you want to?
Can't remember that either.
If we go on like this, we shall soon need a nurse.
Hi.
Oh, hello, you two.
Hi, lovely lady. Hi, Lie.
No, low Lie. I'm tired.
Mum, why did you tell Alistair where I was?
Because he asked, and I'm a truthful person.
Ha.
He wants to talk.
Yes. All right. Good night.
Good night.
Would you like a drink?
No, thanks. Let's just sit. Not very warm?
Not supposed to be.
Oh.
Well, don't look so surprised, Alistair. Our last conversation wasn't exactly lovey-dovey, was it?
Not from you, Judy, no. There was even a reference to my near-perfect body.
I actually said your not-so-perfect body.
That was below the belt.
Oh, whichever way you want to look at it.
Well, let's get away from my body. The fact is that you got very hostile, and all I said was...
You didn't like the idea of my sharing a flat with Sandy because it might inconvenience you.
Now, don't give me a hard time, Jude. I mean, we're talking.
And you're not saying anything new.
So try this. Judy, I want you in my life. I need you in my life. And I mean in.
Is there more?
A bit more, yes. Judy, don't move in. Move in with... Will you move in with me?
That's the front door.
Mm-hmm. What?
The front door's just closed.
And I suppose someone's just come in or gone out.
Well, obviously.
Well, why wake me up to tell me?
Well, they didn't talk for very long, did they?
I don't know. I was in the twilight zone till you dug me in the ribs.
They didn't dig you in the ribs. What do you think went on?
How can I tell from up here in the bedroom?
Why did Alistair go so quickly?
Have you considered the possibility that they left together?
Oh, no, I hadn't.
Shh. What?
Somebody's coming up the stairs.
I'd like to think it was the Sandman.
Mum? You sleep?
No, no, just reading. Lionel, pick up a book.
What?
Come in, love.
Alistair's just asked me to move in with him.
Oh, I see.
Excuse me.
Why are you getting out of bed?
Well, you're obviously going to talk. I'll just wander about downstairs, I suppose.
Lionel, there's no need for that. I mean, you're family now, aren't you?
Am I?
Like a dad, really.
Oh, Lord.
Lionel, stop chattering. Well, what did you say?
I said no. No, I was tempted. Well, you know, Alistair, he's very... Well,
tempting.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he's fun and he's generous. The sex is great.
I think I will have that wander around.
Oh, for goodness sake. This is a grown-up conversation.
But I'm a man.
We know that, but you have a role to play.
Look, Lionel, I don't want advice. I just wanted to tell you both.
It's not enough, is it?
No, it's not.
What isn't?
I think you better have that wander around.
Alistair asking me to move in with him, it's not enough. I'm not young anymore.
You're a child.
Yeah, to you I might be. Well, you know, Alistair, this is just a temporary solution to a problem. It's not a real commitment.
Well, I think you're right.
Yeah, so do I. Well, we'll see anyway. I just wanted to keep you up to date. Good night.
You all right?
Strangely enough, yes, I am. Good night.
Good night, love.
Night, Judy.
Good night, Lionel.
She's getting stronger.
She has to be, turning down someone with his money. Nobody else will be coming in for a heart-to-heart, will they?
Well, who do you have in mind? The band of the Grenadier Guards?
Sandy.
No, no, Sandy's all right. Mm.
I don't mind being confided in, but I don't like being confided in when I'm in my pajamas.
I'll remember that.
No, you're exempted.
Oh, thanks. Come on, get back into bed.
Yes, we'd better get some sleep. It's Operation Flak tomorrow.
It'll work.
I hope so.
See you later, Mum.
See you in the office.
I'll catch you up, Judith.
You didn't tell me about the flat you went to see, Sandy.
Oh, it's gone. I got a late edition of the evening paper. I think we're going to have to start grabbing them as they come off the presses.
Something will turn up. Sandy, what do you think this noise is?
What noise?
Well, I haven't done it yet.
A train?
No! Listen!
Some kind of bird.
It's a telephone.
Oh, why?
That's a bit complicated.
Sandy, are you coming?
Yes, I think I'd better. Bye.
Some kind of bird? Lionel, I've just seen Mrs. Flack from upstairs hobbling up the road towards us. Action station.
I still have doubts about this, you know.
Oh, you have doubts about everything. Look, just get her in here and I'll be in the kitchen waiting for the call from Los Angeles.
I've had an idea. What if somebody actually phones and this phone, which is supposed to be out of order, rings?
You're just making difficulties again. Disconnect it. Oh. There she is. I'll let her in and then you'll know where I'll be.
Good morning, Miss Codgett.
Good morning, Mrs. Flack. Mr. Hardcastle's in the living room.
Good morning, Mrs. Flack. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting quite used to my crutches now. I'm becoming quite adept.
Oh, good. Well, come in.
Oh, well, if it's all the same to you, I'd like a word with Miss Codgett at first. Is she in the kitchen?
Yes.
Well, practicing. I'm not a very good whistler.
No. No offence intended, but it really sounded more like a pigeon.
Oh, did it? How can I help you, Mrs. Flack?
Oh, well, I'd like to talk to you on a matter of some delicacy.
Oh, well, we'd better sit down. By the way, the telephone in the living room is out of order.
I see.
I just thought I'd tell you. What was it you wanted to talk to me about?
Oh, I wish I was Winston Churchill.
Oh, do you?
Because he'd know how to put it. Still, I'll come straight to the point. I know I do go on a bit sometimes, but I can come straight to the point when I want
to. Well, I'm sure you can. Well, what is the point?
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to terminate my employment with Mr. Hardcastle and indeed your agency.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that's very bad news.
I know, but my cousin with the inflamed tendon has made me, as they say, an offer I can't refuse. She wants me to go and live with her in Dorset and help run her little shop. She's ever so sweet, Faye, and she's on her own like me. We'd be company, you see.
Mrs. Flack, I couldn't be more pleased for you. What about Harriet?
Oh, well, that all falls into place as well, you see, because Faye has a West Highland white called Flora. Who knows? There might be a little canine romance there.
Oh, sweet. Well, why are you telling me this, not Lionel?
Oh, because I wouldn't know how to break it to him. I know how upset he'll be.
Yes, he will.
We formed such a lovely working relationship, Mr. Hardcastle and I.
Yes, he often talks about it. Often.
I've just had some extraordinary news. I've just had a telephone call from Los Angeles.
I thought you said the phone was out of order.
No, this phone. No, I meant this phone.
Yes, the only thing wrong with the one in the other room is that it rings very softly. I don't expect you could hear it in here.
Well, I can't think it was anything very special.
Oh, it was. Yeah, they want me to go over there and work for a couple of weeks. What's more, Mrs. Flack, I shall need to take a secretary with me, and the name that springs to mind is yours.
Oh, I'd love to.
What about Harriet?
Oh, no, I'll let Miss Padgett tell you.
I'm sorry. It's bad news, Lionel.
Harriet's dead?
Mrs. Flack has given in her notice.
Oh, dear.
She's moving to live with her cousin Faye.
What, the one with the inflamed tendon who lives in Dorset with the West Highland white called Flora?
Yes. Did I tell you about her?
Yes.
Well, you'll require 2 weeks' notice, of course, Miss Padgett, huh?
Will you?
No.
No.
No, this is a special case. You'll have a lot to do, Mrs. Flack, so you start doing it immediately.
Oh, thank you very much. It might be better that way. Less of a wrench for Mr. Hardcastle.
Absolutely.
And I'll just pop in the other room then, gather up any bits and bobs I may have left here. Don't worry, Mr. Hardcastle. I'm sure Miss Pardita will get you a good replacement.
I'm sure she will, but there'll never be another you, Mrs. Flack.
Oh, that's one of the nicest things that anyone's ever said to me.
Why do I still feel guilty?
Yes, I feel the same.
Oh, come in, Alistair, come in. Good to see you.
You're very cheerful.
Well, I feel wonderful, as a matter of fact. Mrs. Flack has left, and with effect from tomorrow, Daisy is my secretary.
Hey, hey.
Well, that hey, hey lacked conviction.
Sorry, my turbo's not charging today.
Not Judith?
Can we have a sort of locker room chat?
Well, I don't actually have a locker room, but you're perfectly welcome to a chat.
She turned me down, Li.
That happens to everybody.
Sorry, I mean, I like the girl. I must do. I asked her to move in with me.
Alistair, you've got to face it. It wasn't enough.
What more could I do?
Well, there's this thing called marriage.
Big word, Li.
Not if you say it quickly.
Quite honestly, mate, I don't know that I'm ready.
Well, you're not Peter Pan, you know.
That was shooting from the hip.
Well, I assumed that locker room chat involved listening to someone else's opinion. Look, two marriages, two broken marriages.
Then why on earth should she go looking for another one?
Well, maybe she's an optimist. Maybe she's the kind of girl who needs that kind of commitment.
You're getting heavy.
I'm just saying what I think is true.
Then you agree with her?
Yes, I do.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, mate, when it comes to commitment, isn't this really a case of the pot calling the kettle black?
Touché.
Coffee?
Yes, please.
I'll put out your new suit for the morning.
What on earth for?
Well, Daisy starts. You want to look your best.
You're running this joke into the ground, you know.
Sorry. Did you manage to get any work done this afternoon?
No. Alistair came round for what he calls a locker room talk.
You're in danger of becoming an agony aunt.
I know, and I don't like it.
How was he?
He says his turbo isn't charging.
Does that translate as down in the dumps?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
He's too used to getting his own way.
I keep thinking of all that money.
Why?
Because he's got such a lot.
Well, you move in with him, then.
I could never have offered you money like that in 1954. I mean, a second lieutenant's wages? You'd probably have had to walk around barefoot.
Well, I could always have worn your second best boots. Anyway, the difference is that if we hadn't lost touch,
You wouldn't have asked me to live in sin, would you?
Certainly not. I'd have made an honest woman of you and asked you to live in penury.
It always sounds like a village in Cornwall, doesn't it, penury?
I suppose people did live together then.
Yes, of course. It's just more hush-hush, that's all. We didn't go around saying, this is my partner then.
What did we say?
Well, this is my friend. Or in some cases, this is my lodger. But anyway, Judy wants more. It's nothing to do with money.
Commitment.
It isn't wrong for a woman to ask for it, you know.
No, of course it isn't.
Do you want a custard tart with your coffee?
No, I've had three today.
Well, let's take it up then. It's a programme I want to see about diesel engines.
I didn't know you were interested in diesel engines.
I'm not, but I like the presenter. You coming?
Mm.
Yes, I am, you know.
What?
Committed.
Oh.
I mean, I'm here, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Which proves it.
Yes. Which proves it. You must be a
You've been listening to As Time Goes By, written by Bob Larby and starring Judy Dench as Jean and Geoffrey Palmer as Lionel. Judith was played by Moira Brooker, Alistair by Philip Bretherton, Sandy by Jenny Funnell, and Mrs. Flack, Vivian Martin. The producer was Martin Fisher. As Time Goes By is a DLT entertainment production in association with the Theatre of Comedy for BBC Radio 2.